Turn to chapter number 7. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things, John the Apostle writes, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And may God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Holy God, our Father, for the word of the Lord, of this event that's going to take place in the future. We want to talk a little bit about this God that controls all events. This God that is God. So bless your words of our hearts and challenge our hearts, encourage our hearts, inspire us to live more close to thee and to love thee with hearts that are pure. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord, and help me as I stand here helpless. Help me to exalt Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, I pray. Amen. A little while I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. You just heard and just read with me these verses in the Word of God. How that there is four angels that control the wind. Isn't that amazing? God's got angels stationed everywhere with jobs that they are assigned to carry out. But they can't do anything till he tells them to do it. Isn't that amazing? They don't just jump up and decide to do what they want to do. They wait for instructions. There are two things that are beyond dispute. That is, God is sovereign over the nations and the universe, and that man is a responsible creature. Even the angels have to obey God. And man, if he was wise, we would obey God too, church. Amen. We would obey God too. Yes, God is sovereign over all things, no matter what it is you can think of. Even the hair on your head won't fall out without God's allowing it. If it's war, if it's the weather, an earthquake, a volcano, a fire, disease, angels, or men, God is in complete control of all of them. And so all those fires out in California, God could stop them or never have allowed them. But he's permitting it. Although God allows man to make decisions, he controls them. He controls them. God has established certain laws in nature. that will result in great destructions if these laws are violated. For example, you drop a match on some dry grass and you can get a forest fire that'll destroy houses, businesses, trees, and people for thousands of acres and even miles. Just drop a match. The law of God's nature will allow it to just destroy unless it's contained. Now, God didn't start that fire, and the person that did it may not have intended to. But the law of nature is if you drop a match on dry grass, it'll burn. When we sin, the law is damage will result. That's the law. Whatever is taking place, we can always know it's not outside of the control of God. Everything is within God's control. That ought to bring comfort to us to know that. That God is God, church. Amen. Nothing that happens catches God by surprise. Nothing that happens shakes God or makes him nervous. God does not have to rethink on how to get something done. Have you ever started working on something you had to stop and try to figure it out? God has never had to do that. Isn't that something? He knows about all that's going on now, and he knew it all before he made the world. Folks, we serve an awesome God. The God we serve is God. Again, let me say, God is sovereign all the time. There's never any time he's not sovereign God. He's always in complete control, day and night, 24 hours a day, every day. When the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, the fire could not even burn them. The fire wouldn't burn them. Why? Because God didn't let it burn them. Fire's nature is to burn. But God was in control of that fire. God can make fire not burn. Isn't that something? Ain't that something, church? This is the God we're here to worship today. Great day with a God, folks. God was doing that to show Nebuchadnezzar that his gods were no match for the Jews' God. Amen? When Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh, the 10 plagues were to show Pharaoh's Egypt's gods were inferior to the Jews' gods. Pharaoh learned the hard way who was really God. And so do many today, and many more is going to learn that God is God. And that we are not the ones in control. Man's not the one in control today. Isaiah wrote in 40, verses 25 and 24, "To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by night, and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth." God made those stars, and he named them. Amen? Isaiah wrote again in Isaiah 44 and 6, I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is no God. Amen? So we don't have to look for another God to worship. There ain't but one. And He's the eternal God. He's always existed. And you can't figure that out to save your life. Your brain won't let you. He's always existed. How long did He exist? Always. Well, when did He make the universe? When He wanted to. Amen? How long is He going to exist? Forever. One day you didn't exist except in the mind of God. But then one day He brought you into this world. Now you're going to live forever. And you can't get out of that. You can't get out of living forever now. The situation is that we're at. And even more remarkable, He lets you decide we're at. I'm talking about God, the sovereign God. Hey, praise God, I know God. I know the Lord. Amen? The psalmist said in Psalm 33 and 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Notice that's plural. Those three heavens, Paul said, where the birds fly, the planes fly, then where the stars are at, and then where God's home's at. Amen? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By His word. Wonder what I can make with my word. I can't make anything with my word. Ain't that amazing, Johnny? We can't make anything with a word, can we? Hey, and furthermore, He made it with, and there weren't nothing to make it with. That really puts me in a bad spot. Amen? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the of His mouth. The breath of His mouth, He made all this. Folks, what a God. And all these people running up and down the road in the streets, tearing up everything and think they're something. Boy, they're pitiful. They're pitiful. We're talking about sovereign power this morning. Infinite, unlimited power is God's power. And think about this. As big as this universe is, that nobody knows how big it is except God, God's still bigger than the universe. So you better not tackle Him. Amen. Let's talk about some prophecies fulfilled. Did you know there was over 60 prophecies fulfilled of Jesus' first coming? The Bible said in over 60 different prophecies, things about what would be accomplished when Jesus came. They've been all been fulfilled. Hundreds of others will be fulfilled. There's still a lot of prophecies to be fulfilled. All the book of Revelation, practically, from chapter 4 on, all of that's got to be fulfilled yet. God told Daniel that there would be four great world empires, and these empires have come and gone as prophesied. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. God said it'd be four world empires. They've already come and they've already gone. And He also said there's going to be a revived Roman Empire. You know what? It's forming now. It's forming now. In Daniel chapter 2, God revealed his sovereign plan to Daniel that the king had dreamed. And this dream foretold of these four world empires. Turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. It's lengthy, but we're going to read it this morning, and you follow along. Daniel chapter 2, about this prophecy. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. He had dreamed this awful dream that shook him. And he sought someone to interpret the dream. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. God gave Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom. Now Nebuchadnezzar thought he was that smart he got it. But God gave it to him. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field, the fowl of the heaven, both he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all, thou art this head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar would be the head of gold over all nations. And after thee shall arise another kingdom after thee, inferior to thee, and a third kingdom after of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces, subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet, toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And there shall be in it of the strength of iron, forasmuch as it soweth the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Talking about the coming revive Roman Empire. That's what it's talking about there. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the king shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Talking about Christ's kingdom. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Daniel explained that to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so four of these kingdoms have come and gone, and we're in the process before our eyes today of seeing the revived Roman Empire coming together into existence, and could happen very shortly. Very shortly. This coming kingdom is setting up of Christ as king and at his second coming for 1,000 years. First, the rapture of the church, followed by 7 years of tribulation. So we're right on the verge of the rapture right now and the tribulation. And then 7 years later would be Christ's kingdom, what was talked about here in Daniel chapter 2. All of these things going to happen right are going on. And right now we're at the point where we're expecting the rapture to take place at any moment. Did y'all know that there are many people that knows Jewish laws and customs about how they observe days? For some time, they've been saying that when the rapture does happen, It'll be in the month of September because of a certain holiday. I'm just throwing at you to make you think about it. Didn't set a date. It just said, on a certain holiday in September would be the expected time for the rapture. Just think about it. Mull about it. Because nobody really knows the day nor the time. But we know this. When we look at everything that's going on in the world, it's got to be close. It's got to be close. Israel's back in her land is prophesied. Jerusalem has been recognized as her capital. A recent peace treaty with Israel and the United Arab Emirates suggests this could be the treaty that the Antichrist will confirm at the beginning of the tribulation with Israel. So what we might be hearing about today in the last 2 weeks, that a treaty has been signed with Israel and some of these Arab countries, and there's other Arab countries wanting to get in on it right now. Behind the scenes, they're dealing with being a part of it. This could be the peace treaty that's set up. And when the rapture happens, the Antichrist comes on, and then he confirms or accepts that peace treaty that had been made. That's how close we might be to the rapture. I get excited thinking about that. Because I read over in Revelation about our white horses we're going to get. Amen.
I see your pictures out.
Wasn't that nice? I already got my name. Amen. I already named mine. Yep. What's behind all this? What is behind all this? The sovereign God's working out his plan. God give us his book to study, to learn about it. I'm not talking about stuff I've made up. I'm talking about stuff that God give us. Yeah. The sovereign God of eternity is working out his program for this world, and most of the world is blind to it. And it's happening right before their eyes, and they don't know it. Right before their eyes, it's all taking place. And they got the book that tells them about it. But who's a reading the book? I've been reading the book. I've been reading the book. And I believe the book. Yeah. Let's talk about the world's plan just a little bit. The world is planning for the earthly future, as if the world's going on and on and on forever. That's the way the world plans. The other day I saw where they have approved of flying cars in one state. They got flying cars now. Now there's some regulations or restrictions. They can't fly that car unless they drive it out of their yard down to an airport somewhere, get on our airfield, and then they can fly. And when they get through flying, they come back to the airport and land. Then they got to drive it back home down the highway. They're not allowed to fly, take off on the highway. We got to take off at the airport, land at the airport. Unless there's an emergency, then they would be allowed to land on the highway. But can you imagine? We're getting a flying cars stage now. Yeah. The space program is also making big plans to go to Mars. And who knows where else in the near future. Oh, they're excited about that. Going to Mars in a space capsule. Let me ask you this. What's consuming you today? What's taking up your thoughts today? Think about it. Man wants to go into space. He wants to go into space. Except very few want to go to heaven, it seemed like. Amen? You won't need a spaceship to go to heaven. Nor a flying car. Praise the Lord. I heard someone the other day talking. Me and Faye was listening to somebody. I forget who it was right now. And they were talking about when Jesus comes in a cloud, and other times when clouds had come and made appearances. And they said the reason it was a cloud, because it was hiding the vehicle they were riding in from heaven. Now, that was a good theory, weren't it? They said when Jesus went back to heaven in a cloud, said the cloud covered up the vehicle Jesus was in, going back to heaven. You know, some of our jet pilots are seeing these objects in space, and they're trying to figure out what these flying objects are. And they see them, and zip, they're gone. So they're trying to say, maybe, you know, that's from heaven. Who knows? Oh, my goodness, folks. In Job 1, 6 through 12, turn in your Bible quick. Job 1, 6 through 12. We're talking about God, how powerful God is, how sovereign God is. Let me tell you how sovereign God is in Job chapter 1. Now this verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." Notice that. They had to come present themselves. "And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.'" Think about this, folks. You know, Peter said the same thing. The same devil's been walking up and down our roads, bringing havoc and deceiving people, destroying lives, wrecking lives. Now he's come to report to heaven, to God. And he had to fess up what he'd been doing. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job then, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, sheweth evil?' Then Satan said to the Lord, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand.'" Look, Satan's trying to get God to harm Job. Ain't he a sneaky? Ain't he a devil? "But put forth thy hand and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what, folks? Satan's a wicked creature. That's how Satan operates. Listen how Satan operates. He's mean. The Bible says in 14 and 15 of chapter number 1, "Then came a messenger to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding besides them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I'm only escaped alone to tell you.'" The devil deliberately let one get away so he could tell Job the bad news. "And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell you.'" Again, before Job could get over the shock of his servants being killed and his herd stolen, here comes more bad news. And at the same time while he was speaking, there come another one. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there come a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I'm only the one that got away. Boy, Satan just piles it on sometime, folks. Listen, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and then he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. Just one problem, just one pain, one sorrow after the other, they just piled on. Somebody said here this morning, might have been Johnny standing here, Mr. Chavis, on which one of you, said something about some people just seem to have more problems. There's the devil, folks. And he'll pile it on sometime. And the thing about it was, Job was living right the whole time. But I want you to notice, God was sovereign in that. He couldn't do but so much. He couldn't do but so much. And you know what? The Bible says, Job still kept trusting God. Amen. And he told his wife, he said, God slay me, I'm going to still trust him. Boy, what a testimony. Oh, I wish I could be that strong. I hope I get that strong. No matter what, just keep trusting God. Let's talk about something else. He's talking about death and the grave. Talking about sovereignty today, folks. Listen, don't lose the topic. Sovereignty. God's in control. Amen? Now, there is another fascinating thought about God's sovereignty. The Bible, which I believe says the dead, listen to this, the dead are going to hear God call them one day. Think about that a moment. People out in the graveyard going to hear God call them. You let that sink in yet. You let that sink in a while. I'm talking about them that's been there 6,000 years too. The dead's going to hear God call them. The dead people of 6,000 years are going to hear God call them from the graves where their bodies lie one day, and they're going to live. They're going to get up. I'm talking about dust and ashes and nothing left but maybe just the minerals. But the dead are going to hear God speak to them one day. And they're going to live. The saved dead will be raised first from the dead and live to rule and serve God's purposes in Jesus Christ forever. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Folks, that's enough to make a Baptist say something. Amen? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You believe that? Amen. You got loved ones that's passed on that were Christians? They're going to hear God and going to get up. Amen. This day is on God's calendar. It's going to happen. It's going to really happen. I believe it. In fact, at any moment it could happen. It could happen to all believers that's died since Pentecost 2,000 years ago. The dead are going to hear God. Why? Because He's God, that's why. And God has a plan, and His plan will succeed. Nothing's going to spoil God's plan. Great day. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible. It must, brother. It must. It's gonna. And this mortal must put on immortality. This old mortal is going to die. This mortal that may be in the grave going to hear God. So when this corruptible put on incorruption and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up. Oh, death, where's your sting at? Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, sovereign God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a God. What a God. What a hope we got. It's not just a hope. It's a hope. Amen. Death cannot defy God Almighty. Death cannot say, I ain't going to get up. Death can't do that. Death's going to have to come out of the grave. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the power of God I serve today. This is the God who put me here to preach it. I believe it. This is a God who most people are ignoring today.
That's right.
God is allowing man to defy Him now for a time, but that's going to change.
Amen.
That's going to change. I hate to have to tell you, but the stubborn, wicked, God-hating people, going to hear the voice of God one day say, depart! I never knew you. But if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. You can get saved, be saved, stay saved, live with God, the one that loved us so much forever, or you can ignore Him and go to hell. That's the only two choices put out by a sovereign God. A sovereign God who's good enough to send you a Savior, but gracious enough to let you ignore Him. Let's love Him. Let's serve Him. We won't ever regret it. But let's also be praying for these souls. Let's be praying for all the needs in our bulletin. That's all we can do. And let's live right. Let's love one another. Let's love Jesus Christ. He made it possible by obeying the Father. Loving God, thank you for letting me stand here today. Lord, I'm little. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm helpless, Lord. Lord, encourage your people today. Bless them today, Lord. You know what they face, Lord. You know what's going on, Lord. Help them. Encourage them. Bless them, Lord. Bless those unable to be here, Lord, because of various reasons and situations, Lord. And bless wherever people are meeting today in the name of Jesus. Bless the ministers of God and the Bible teachers of God. Bless them specially, Lord. And may those that hear have ears to hear and believe the good news of salvation in Jesus, I pray. And thank you for letting me have this time again. Amen and amen. May God bless my people. May God bless. Today you can come to the altar. Come talk to God. If he can hear